In Acts chapter 17 and verse number 31, the Bible said, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them, howbeit certain men clave unto him, and believed, among the which was Dionysius and Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Pray with me, please. Father, thank you tonight for this precious old book, the Bible. Thank you, Lord, for the precious Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, tonight that you would anoint us afresh and anew and help us to glean something tonight, Lord, that will, Lord, just be a blessing in our hearts and in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for our country. Thank you, Lord, that it's still fairly young, just a little over 200 years old. And, Lord, we just pray that you would just help us now, Lord, that we might return to the God of our fathers, and Lord, that we might seek your face in these days. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. I was thinking as I was praying, I was going back in my mind last week, there was a shooting that took place in the press room up there in Annapolis, Maryland. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, 5 people lost their lives and others were injured. But one of the things that stuck out in my mind is that the judge said to the young man as he came in for his hearing, I guess that's what you would call it, or arraignment maybe is what it would be called. The judge said to the young man, he said, you can sit down, sir. And they said the young man just stood there like stone cold, just like the judge wasn't even in the room. I'm going to tell you something. That young man's going to stand before a judge one day after a while, beloved. He won't disrespect him. He won't disregard him. Are you listening to me tonight? I believe with all of my heart we need to understand. We're not talking about, when we talk about the highest court in the land, we're not talking about the Supreme Court, but we're talking about the Savior's court. This judge has an eternal appointment, and I thank the Lord that when we get there, he'll be there. And the Bible said that he judges righteous judgment. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? That means he doesn't make any mistakes. Things can go wrong in the court down here, but nothing's going to go wrong in that court over there. Beloved, he knows what's going on in front of the scenes. He knows what's going on behind the scenes. He knows everything. Nothing can be hidden from him. And I just want to say this, a couple of things. He has an eternal appointment, but in the Supreme Court of the United States, laws can be changed or overturned. And that's what's got a lot of people fearful right now, is that some of the things that have, and listen to me carefully. You're looking at a preacher. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. But you're looking at a preacher that does not believe that homosexuality is the mainstream in America. We've been made to believe that. But I'm telling you, I do not believe that's mainstream America. I believe the last election proved that there's a whole lot that's not mainstream that we've believed for years is made to believe that it's mainstream. I do not believe even, I was talking to my son-in-law a while ago, there's a generation of millennials raising up that don't believe abortion is right. Amen. And I was reading today, and I need to go back and really, really search it out, but I went back over there in the book of Exodus about kind of if two men are into it and they hit a woman that's got a baby in her belly, and there's a penalty for that. Do you understand what I mean? The Bible talked about life for life. So what God was doing was calling that baby a life. Are you listening to me tonight? I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen, all you'd have to do is look at an ultrasound and you'd realize there's life, amen, and that God has his eyes when their substance is not yet formed, amen, that he knows all about them. I think it's Psalm 139, you can read about that. He's got his eyes on that little one. A long time before I ever got my eyes on him, thank God he had his eyes on me, amen. And I believe tonight that's a blessing from God. But laws can be changed. They can be overturned. But in the Savior's court, the highest court in the land, the law is eternal. And it'll never be changed. It'll never be overturned. Amen. You say, preacher, how can you say that? I got a book right here that says the same thing. Amen. We don't have to wonder what the law's going to look like when we get there. We've got it in our lap. Amen. We've got God's word, and God's word is preserved eternally in the heaven. And I thank the Lord for that. I want to say this tonight, and this is one of the main points I want to bring out. Maybe that's why the Lord reminded me of that when I was praying about that young man that just stood there dead and didn't even acknowledge the judge. But in the Supreme Court of the United States, arguments are presented from both sides of any issue. In other words, they have lawyers and they have them come in and present their case. But I'm going to tell you something, in the highest court in the land, in the Savior's court, beloved, there's not going to be any arguments presented. I'm talking about a sinner will never present an argument. The saints of God will never present an argument. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, let me just help you with this tonight. The Bible said in Matthew and in 22 and 12, and he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And the word of God said he was speechless. Amen? Now listen to me tonight. In Matthew 28, in the end of the Sabbath, the word of God said it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. It came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. I'm going somewhere with this. You say, what's that got to do with the Savior or the court? I'm talking about men on earth that because of the presence of God's holy angels fell down as dead men. Amen. They didn't have anything to say. Now watch this. I believe in Revelation chapter number 1. Turn there with me tonight. I didn't print this scripture out. I wanted to turn over there and read it tonight. It takes up a lot of space, but it's worthy of our reading tonight. Revelation chapter number 1. And I want to begin reading in verse number 9. Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 9. The Bible said, I, John also, who am your brother. I like that. And companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. John was being punished. That's what they thought. Say amen. Joseph, they thought they were punishing him. That's what they thought. But God had something else in mind. God had something he wanted to show John. God had something he wanted to show Joseph. And God had something he wants to show us. Watch what the Bible said. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira, and unto Sardis and Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like undefined brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. When I saw him, watch this, beloved, John didn't have anything to say. Let me tell you something, beloved. Listen, better talk to the Lord in prayer today. Amen. And if you're not saved, you better talk to the Lord. Amen. And get saved. Amen. Today. Because I'm telling you, beloved, there's a day when we're going to stand in the highest court in the land. And we're not going to have anything to say. There's not going to be arguing the case. Are you listening to me? I thank the Lord as far as sin goes, beloved. Listen, my case is settled at Calvary. It's settled through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the sin is not what I'm concerned about. It's the service, amen. We're going to stand and give an account as the saints of God to this God of the Lord Jesus, the God of the world, the God of the universe in the highest court in the land. Watch what the Bible said here. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am the liveth, he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. I thank the Lord tonight, the highest court in the land. It's not the Supreme Court, but it's the Savior's court. And if we had some politicians, let me get down a little bit closer. If we had some preachers that was concerned about giving an account, amen, in the court of heaven, we might have a different situation in our land. I believe with all of my heart that preachers all across our land, some of them are God-called preachers. Some of them are not. I tell you what, it'd be wise to realize that everybody puts the Bible under their arm and stands in a pulpit, it's not a man of God. And it would also be wise to realize that everybody puts the Bible under their arm, goes to church, not a child of God. Amen. But we need to understand, beloved, listen, that there's a sect of people, even standing in pulpits, that do not believe this is the Word of God. They're wishy-washy. They're compromisers. And beloved, listen, we need to understand there's going to come a day everyone will stand and appear in front of this judge. The Bible said in Matthew 12:31, Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. When you look at that in the Scripture, you hear all kinds of things, but it was ascribing to Satan, giving him credit or giving him glory for that that the Lord Jesus had done. We know today that, beloved, the Spirit of God can be grieved by the child of God. He can be quenched by the child of God, but he can be rejected by the sinner. And beloved, if you die that way, you'll be in trouble, having rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, Whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and the fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. He said, O generation of vipers, he's talking to the Pharisees here. He said, How can ye be an evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, listen to me carefully right here. This is what Jesus said. I'm talking about one-on-one with the judge of the universe. Listen what the Bible said. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. I'm going to tell you what that makes me want to do. Makes me want to watch my tongue. Say amen. It makes me want to be swift to hear and slow to speak. The way the Word of God tells us in the book of James. The Bible said every idle word will give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified. And by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Then certain of the scribes and Pharisees said, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, for there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonah was in the whale, it was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented. They repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. It's amazing to me how that in our text in the book of Acts and in the text before us in the book of Matthew, both these judgments are being tied into the resurrection, being tied into the one that died and was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scripture. I'm telling you, beloved, this is what God is saying to us tonight. Just as sure as Jesus died, just as sure as they buried him in a borrowed tomb, just as sure as he got up the third day, according to the scripture, you and I are going to stand before him one day after a while. And I'm going to tell you something, beloved, listen to me. I tremble at that thought tonight. Anybody that can jump up and down and just say glory, I tell you, maybe you're living a whole lot closer than I am. But I want you to know tonight, beloved, listen, God said it's going to be open. It's going to be naked. The whole thing's going to be thrown open before the one whom we have to do tonight. Amen. Listen tonight, Hebrews said, neither is there any creature that's not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The Bible said in Ephesians 1:19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him. There he goes again. When he raised him from the dead. I didn't pick up on that until I was preaching tonight. Amen. There he goes again. He raised him from the dead. Set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Far above all principality and power. He's above the Supreme Court. He's above the president. He's above the preacher. He's all in all and above all tonight. He's the Savior of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ. He's the judge that we'll face one day after a while. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The Bible said it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Now listen tonight, I'm not afraid to die. I'm not looking forward to it. I would rather go on the big load. I'd rather be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and just go on out of here and be with Jesus. Amen. I'm not afraid to die. I fought facing it one time. A fellow's GMC emblem was headed for my door, and he was doing about 35 or 40 mile an hour, and that was plenty enough to take me out of this world, and I came out of that without a scratch. Amen. But I'm telling you, beloved, it was a test. There was a peace in my heart knowing that if I'm fixing to check out, he drove me into a telephone pole on the other side, completely totaled the vehicle. But I'm going to tell you something, he couldn't total. He might have totaled my life that day, but he couldn't total my soul, because my soul was totally in the hands of Jesus. Had I left out of this world, I'd have been absent from the body and present with the Lord. And we could go at any time, beloved. Listen, anything could take us out of this world. I just want you to think about that. It's appointed, but after this, the judgment. The Bible said in Genesis 15:14, and also that nation whom they shall serve. God is speaking about Egypt and the children of Israel. He's saying that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. God said he was going to judge Egypt. I heard a preacher preach Sunday night, I believe a while back. Maybe it was last Sunday night. America better look out. Amen. America don't need to look out because of the Supreme Court. America needs to look out because of the highest court in the land. You have to look above the Supreme Court to see it. And I believe, listen, we'd do well to look there tonight. The Bible says he's coming. Let me give you this in closing. I want to read a text tonight and just say that America has a sister. America has a sister. The Bible called this sister to Israel. Ezekiel 16:48, God said, as I live, saith the Lord, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. I don't know about you, but you know, when I think about David, automatically, there's some things I think about. I can think about Goliath automatically. I can think about Bathsheba automatically. And when I think about Sodom, what I automatically think about is sodomy. I automatically think about the sin for which God destroyed them. How many's with me right there? But let me give you what's going on. I believe the reason we have a sister, I believe America has a sister. God was speaking to Israel. Let me see if you can recognize anything that's going on in the text and look back in recent years. He said here, Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. The first thing he lists is pride. Let me give you something tonight. I was just made aware of this. I've been saying this for years, but you know, after 9/11, I said it's okay. It was okay in America for a couple of weeks to pray. We were encouraged to pray. But let me just give you this. Jesus wasn't mentioned. There's only one mediator between God and man. That's the man, Christ Jesus. How many believes that wore off real quick? You want to know why? Pride. Now listen to me carefully. What we thought was, we're bigger, we're badder, we're coming after you. You remember the language? How many remembers the language? Amen. Let me just say this to you tonight. I believe America ought to defend herself. Let me go ahead and say this. I believe Israel ought to defend herself. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. There's some nations found out. You better not pick on that little country. That little country's got God on its side. Say amen. And I believe with all of my heart, pride is a problem in America. We think we've got it made. Amen. Now let me tell you something. I'm for a strong military. But you better not put your confidence in your horses. That's what the Bible says. Better not put your confidence in your bombs and in your planes. I'm for a strong military. Don't you get me wrong. I'm all for it. And I believe if we have a more likely opportunity to have peace through strength than we do to have peace through weakness. Don't get me wrong. God's people I'm talking to tonight. The Congress, many of them don't know this. The Supreme Court don't know this. But I want you to know, we ought to know, our confidence is to be in the Lord. It's not to be in our tanks. It's not to be in our weaponry. It's not to be in our accuracy with our weapons. It's not to be, beloved, in the things, the satellites that we have in space. But our confidence should be in the Lord. I'm going to tell you something tonight. If God don't defend America, America's in trouble anyway. If you ain't figured that out, you can mark her down. Amen. Thank God for the remnant of his people. Watch this. The first thing was pride. The second thing was fullness of bread. Now let me ask a question. How many of you, and I'm not doing this in a mean-spirited way, but there are people in this room that were touched by the Great Depression. If you were touched by the Great Depression, would you raise your hand? You were? Amen. Let me say this to you. I believe people were closer to God when America had nothing. I believe, let me tell you something. I believe people were closer to God when America's future was in the balance in World War I and World War II. How many knows what I'm trying to say tonight? But I'm going to tell you what God did. God blessed America. And we got fullness all of a sudden. I'm telling you, we got blessings coming from everywhere. And beloved, listen, that's how Sodom started out. It started with pride, and then it moved into fullness of bread. Here comes the blessing. Now let me give you something tonight. There's a danger, even in Christian circles. There's nothing wrong with singing about the blessing, and nothing wrong with thanking God for the blessing. But please, 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 I beg you, don't ever let the blessing take your eyes off of the blesser. We'd be better off to be poor tonight and look unto Jesus than we would to be rich and look away from him tonight. The highest court in the land. Watch this now. Pride and fullness of bread. Watch this now. I'm telling you what's true. You couldn't write it any better about America. Abundance of idleness. All I've got to do is lay around, smoke dope, listen to rock and roll music, look at dirty pictures. America's idle tonight. Not everybody in America, but I'll say this, and you're blind if you can't see it. There's an abundance of idleness. Somebody said years ago, it was just an old saying that idle hands are the devil's workshop. How many can say amen right there? I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me carefully right now. I'll just say this. It's free of charge. Our children don't need to be idle. Amen. I thank God for my grandchildren, but they've learned when they come to Papa's, we're going to be into something. Amen. 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 Ain't nothing wrong with that. There ain't nothing wrong with a young'un getting married and knowing how to iron a shirt when she gets married. Knowing how to wash some dishes. Say amen right there. Knowing how to keep house. Ain't nothing wrong with a young man getting married knowing how to change the oil. You can change the oil yourself for probably about $20, or you can pay somebody to do it for about $50. I'm telling you tonight, nothing wrong with being busy for the Lord and being about your Father's business. Abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. It was all about self. Listen, the Bible did tell us we're supposed to work. I believe it's over in Timothy. The Bible did tell us, but we're supposed to work enough that we could give to them that have need. Did y'all know that? Ain't that right? Is that Bible? It's right there in that book, isn't it? Neither did she strengthen her hand of the poor and the needy. Now watch this now. And the Word of God said they were haughty. Watch this. It started with pride. There's a difference in pride and haughtiness. Haughtiness is pride elevated to the nth degree. It reminds me of Lucifer when he rose up and said, I will exalt my throne. This is the way they say it down south. He got too big for his britches. And I'm telling you tonight, I'm speaking to the cream of the crop. But every one of us need to be on guard about getting too big for our britches. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord. Calvary shouldn't fill us up with pride. It ought to humble us. A peanut butter and jelly sandwich shouldn't fill us up with pride. You know how many youngins will never get a clean peanut butter and jelly sandwich in this world? A good cold glass of milk or a good cold drink of water that's clean shouldn't fill us up with pride. It ought to humble us tonight. The Bible said the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. And I believe we're living in a land, Brother Don, where the goodness of God has led us further and further and further. Let me say this tonight. I'm not complaining. I'm not pointing this at anybody. But I'm telling you, there was a time when God's people were meeting in America and the pews weren't padded. Amen. There was no air conditioning. Yeah. They wasn't even a fan. Say amen. There was a time, beloved, in America when it wasn't just the preacher wiping sweat. Everybody else was wiping sweat too. I'm telling you, God's been good to us. You say, preacher, what do you want to do? Turn the air conditioner off? No. What I'm wanting to do is say, let's let it humble us, not fill us up to think we're something when we're nothing without Him. We can do nothing without Him. Beloved, the Bible said they were haughty. And then the Bible said, they committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away. You see the progression? How many believes we're committing abomination in America? They do it on the TV screen. They do it on the movie screen. They do it on the internet. And listen, the bad part about it is there's a high court in our land said it's okay to do it. But it ain't the highest court in our land. The highest court in our land said it's an abomination. It's against nature. And beloved, we need to pray. The Bible said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Our country is swiftly headed for a boiling point. And I hope God will find his people praying. Amen. I don't want to pick a fight tonight. Really, I don't. But I believe with all of my heart, some in our country are not going to be satisfied until they get a fight. And I hope and pray to God it don't come to that. But I want you to know something tonight. What we need to do is do right, realizing we're going to stand before the judge, do the right thing, and serve him with gladness in these days. I want to read again tonight. I believe it's good stuff. And I just want to read what William Penn said, the founder of Pennsylvania, and I'll be finished this evening. He said, I do declare to the whole world that we believe the scriptures to contain a declaration of the mind and the will of God. Let me back up on William Penn's statement right there. I just now caught something right there. I don't believe the scriptures to contain a declaration of the mind and will of God. I believe the scripture is a declaration of the mind and the will of God. Because I just caught that word contain. But listen to what he said. He said here, to those ages in which they were written, being given forth by the Holy Ghost, moving in the hearts of holy men of God, that they ought also to be read, believed, and fulfilled in our day, being used for reproof and instruction, that the man of God may be perfect. They are a declaration and testimony of heavenly things themselves, and as such, we carry a high respect for them. We accept them as the words of God Himself. Beloved, let me tell you something. If we ever have a revival in America, there'll be more than just us respecting. There was a day not too long ago when sinner men respected this book, held it in higher regard than a lot of church people today in this country that we live in. Amen. I believe with all of my heart tonight, God just had a thought on our heart today. Just remember. Oh, you say, preacher, you can go and you can gamble and it's legal. You can drink and it's legal. In places you can smoke your marijuana and it's legal. You can look at the dirty pictures and it's legal. And you can shack up. Say amen. A man can marry a man and there's all kinds of things. The alcohol is legal. You can, somebody said, Richard, don't you believe in a woman's right to choose? I sure do. That choice needs to be made real early. Say amen. I don't believe in the woman's right to choose and taking away the baby's right. Amen. But a woman does have a right to choose before the baby ever comes into the picture. Help me tonight. Amen. You say, preacher, what about ladies that have been involved in that? Listen, if we didn't believe there's a God that forgives, we might as well just shut the door and go to the house. But I tell you what, if you could get in private with some of them, they'd open their heart. They tell you if they had it to do over again, they'd have done different. Say amen. I'm telling you tonight, we need to just live with this in mind one day. God's going to take the covers off of everything. And I'm not going to do it tonight, but it is just as if I'm standing there naked. I can't hide anything from Him about my life or anything else. I remember, trying to remember the brother's name now. It just came to me, David Ring. Did you ever hear David Ring preach, Brother Don? He preached a message one time entitled, I'm Not Okay and You're Not Okay. And it beat all I've ever seen. He had on his suit. He just looked like a preacher. He had cerebral palsy. And he preached, I'm Not Okay and You're Not Okay. And he's standing there and he looked just like me. Standing here in a suit. He said, you know, everybody says, how you doing? And we all say, I'm doing okay. I'm going to tell you something. I'm talking about a judge tonight that knows how we're doing. I'm talking about a court we're going to stand in tonight we can't hide from. And Brother David began to preach and he said, you know, everybody says, well, I'm doing okay. And he got to preaching and he pulled his coat off. And his sleeves, he had on a long sleeve shirt, but they were shredded, just in little shreds hanging down through there. He said, see, down underneath, we're not doing near as good as we want people to think we're doing. I remember him pulling his shoe off, Brother Don, and the whole front of his foot. He just had half of a sock on. I mean, all of his toes were sticking out there. But see, you'd have never known that with his shoe on. I want to ask you this tonight. Wonder what Jesus knows that pastor don't know. Wonder what Jesus knows about pastor that you don't know. Let me tell you what, he knows everything. everything. And I believe God is just saying to us in the services today, let's look to him. Let's live for him. Brother Grizzle, my mind goes back. I hadn't been here too long. You met me in the back of the church back there. Maybe you remember better than I do, but you said something like this with tears in your eyes. You said, I'm going to meet him, and I ain't looking forward to it. You remember that, Brother Grizzle? Boy, did that speak to my heart. One of the finest men I know said that to me. I've said this for years. Whoever it is that's the closest to the Lord tonight, Brother Aaron, they don't know it. Because the closer you get to him, the more you see he's wrong in your own heart and in your own life. And I guarantee you this, if you're anywhere close to him tonight, you ain't bragging about it. Say amen. It humbles you to get close to him. I say let's get closer and closer and closer. Somebody said one time, you know how close you are to the Lord. Somebody else said, just as close as you want to be. I remember hearing a story. Preachers are good for telling stories. I found out talking to Brother Don last week that the Apostle Paul liked to play golf. I mean, they're just good at telling stories. But a preacher was telling a story. He said, now, preacher, where'd he get that? Paul said he finished his course. Yeah. You like that, didn't you, Brother John? Amen. Luis, it's good to see you, buddy. I just now looked back there. You got John Dockery head back there. It's good to see you. You know what? I believe tonight it'll do us good to remember. They said this man told a story about this man. He's driving. Where's Brother Brian? Is he? He's there. He switched sides on me. He's driving that old truck, Brother Brian. Brother Brian's got an old truck. And he's driving an old truck and said to him and his wife, she was sitting over against the passenger door and said they passed somebody coming this way. And said, boy, that woman was just right up there next to that man. And she said to her husband, said, you know, we used to ride together like that. He'd driving down the road, just sounds like Brian. Said, I'm still sitting where I always did. You know where the Lord is tonight? Amen. He's right where he's always been. If there's any gap between us and him, it's us that moved. It ain't him. How many's glad you come tonight? Sister Danita, come on, get us an invitation song. Somebody might need to be saved. Somebody might want to come to the altar tonight and just say, Jesus, I'm sorry. You see what's going on in my life. God, I've tried to quit, and I've tried to help it, and I can't help it. I need you to help me. How many believes he'll help us tonight? We'll just come clean with him tonight. Sister Danita's going to sing a song. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for our precious people tonight. Thank you, Lord, that you appointed a day. You're going to judge the world in righteousness. Lord, no king's going to escape. No president's going to escape. No preacher's going to escape. Lord, nobody's going to escape. The saints will appear. And then, Lord, at a different judgment, the sinner will appear. Help us tonight, Lord, to realize that there's a court in the land higher even than the Supreme Court. It is the Savior's court. In Jesus' name. Let's stand together tonight.